The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand to you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your own town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. In last Sunday's gospel, Jesus was calling people to follow him. If you remember the gospel, he was, you know, calling people to come and follow him, and people were giving him excuses. And you might have wondered, why does Jesus need followers? Why was he calling people to follow him? Did he want to boast on how many followers he has, like people today do on Instagram and Facebook? "I have so many followers." What this is all about? Well, the answer is in today's gospel. Jesus was calling people to follow him because he has a mission for them. Because he wants to send them out, as we heard that he sent the 72. Because that's how he continues his work in the world, knowing that he's going to go back to heaven one day. Who's going to continue his mission? People called followers so that they can become missionary disciples. And many of us as Catholics say yes to that first invitation to be a follower of Jesus, to be his disciple. But then we stop there. We don't move into being missionary disciples, disciples sent out to the world to transform the world, to proclaim the good news, just like Jesus did. That's why Jesus says, "The fields are ready for harvest, but the laborers are few." The laborers are still few today, and Jesus needs help. He's looking for more laborers, for more Christians, Catholics, disciples who are willing to become missionary disciples. Then Jesus goes into some of the characteristics of being a missionary disciple. What does it mean? What does it entail? He's not sending us, you know, wants to send people to third world countries or to the Amazon jungle or somewhere in Africa. He's calling us to be missionary disciples here where we are in our places. Now, some people are called to go to different countries. But any disciple, any missionary disciple is called to have that sense of urgency that Jesus talks about when he says, don't pack, don't take another tunic or sandals or money. There is a sense of urgency because the need is great out there that Jesus is calling us to take this seriously. Just like he did when he invited people to follow him. Remember, somebody said, well, let me go bury my dad first. And he said, let the dead bury their dead. Someone said, let me go say goodbye to my parents. I said, you know, you can't look back. There is a sense of urgency, a great urgency, because there's a great need of laborers in the field. You know, just like farmers know, when the time for harvest, you can't delay, because if you lose that time period, you're going to lose some of your harvest, will go bad. But the other part about why Jesus says, you know, don't take, you know, money or sandals, and if you go into a house, don't worry about what you're going to eat, is to remind us that really, as a missionary disciples, we're called to be dependent on him. Jesus does not send us alone. He walks with us. He comes with us. He journeys with us. And he provides for our needs. We don't have to worry about all of these things that sometimes separate us and keep us away from saying yes to that invitation to become missionary disciples. Oh, I got kids in school. I got to finish college. I still don't have the right job. I need first to buy a house. All of these things sometimes don't reflect our faith, our belief that God will provide for us. God will be there for us if we put his mission first. Then everything will fall in place. Another thing about the missionary disciple, Jesus tells them, go cure the sick and proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? What is this kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is not in heaven. The kingdom of God is not some, you know, nation or country somewhere. The kingdom of God is about a way of life, a new way of thinking, looking at the world through the glasses that there is a heaven, there is life after death, and I want to make sure to spend that eternity with God in heaven. That changes everything. When we have that perspective, when we're looking at that goal, at that purpose, the kingdom of heaven is to live the gospel values that Jesus taught us. That's why first we got to follow him. Just like those people, they followed Jesus. They listened to his, you know, sermons. They saw his miracles. They have to be equipped to know and understand what is the kingdom of God all about. The kingdom of God is not following the ways of this world that's leading us, as you see, into division, to violence, to anger, to separation. The kingdom of God is that being people who live love, people who are willing to make commitments, to make sacrifices, that the world is not about them and what I need and what's good for me, but to look for the common good of everyone around us. The kingdom of God is about forgiveness, compassion, understanding, listening. It's totally opposite what the world tells us we should do today or what where we see the world is today. And that's what people are looking for. They're searching for something different because none of us like the way the world is today. We want to change it. Well, if you wanted to change it, then you need to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, tomorrow we celebrate the 4th of July. We remember our independence. I want you to go back to the 1776, around that time period, once finally we became independent from the British. The people's whole mentality have to change from being subjects to a foreign nation. Suddenly, we're independent. We have our own nation. Suddenly, they had to make sacrifices and commitments. You need to staff, you know, this new country, this new nation that was founded. Yes, people didn't want to pay taxes, but now you have to pay taxes to your own government. It's a total way of changing a mentality. looking at the new reality that we live in as an independent nation, no longer subject to the British Empire, nor no longer being supported by the resources of the British Empire. It took a lot of sacrifices, a lot of ways, new ways of looking into things, into life, and a lot of changes. But the people were willing to do it because of freedom. Proclaiming the kingdom of God is having the right understanding what freedom is. Freedom that Jesus talks about is not about doing whatever I want to do. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do, no one to tell me what choices I should make. That's not the freedom that Jesus proclaims. It's the freedom of love. It's the freedom that God obtained for us, that God, as our King and ruler, He died for us instead of asking us to die for this freedom. It's the freedom that one day we too will conquer sin and death and rise to eternal life. That we'll have that future that we all of us long for and will never achieve in this world. The freedom that Jesus calls us to is caring about our neighbor, caring about others, and finding ways that we can live together so we can work towards the common good, the peace and justice for all, not for me, but for all, because all of us are God's children. This is the freedom that Jesus is calling us to. That's how we live as God's free children. We have the freedom, we can always say no to God. He doesn't take that away from us, but if we say yes, then we have to live the principles of this kingdom of God that we're called to proclaim to the world. And as you know, freedom doesn't come cheap. There's a cost for freedom. And Jesus tells us, don't worry, I'll give you the power to overcome all of these obstacles. I'll give you the power to care for yourself as you care for others. It's all together. It's all about loving God, loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's a characteristic of a missionary disciple, one who lives the true freedom as a child of God. Then the last part of the gospel, Jesus talks about, you know, the disciples coming back and tell them, look, you know, we did all these great things, even we can expel demons. And Jesus warns them, as he always warns us, don't get too proud and arrogant about what you can do. It's not what you can do, it's the fact that you said yes to my invitation, that's what gets your name written in heaven. We can't control the results. Just like a farmer can do everything they can do, but they can't control what kind of harvest they're going to have. Our responsibility, what gets us to heaven, is our saying yes to God's will for us, to be His missionary disciples, to go out the world and not be afraid, to take it seriously and proclaim by words and deeds this kingdom that Jesus proclaimed to us and died for us on the cross. Are you a missionary disciple? Have you gotten to that stage yet? Today here at Holy Family, we still have a shortage of laborers. The fields are ready for harvest. It's a bountiful harvest, and the harvest is our children, our grandchildren, our teenagers, our youth, our married couples, our seniors. And Jesus is inviting us to be missionary disciples for them. To be willing to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand, to give them hope, to cure their loneliness, to cure their anger, to cure their fears, by reminding them that God is with them through us. We have many shortages here at Holy Family for laborers. We need laborers who help teach our children, our teenagers, what the kingdom of God is all about, or at least introduce them to Jesus, bring them to Christ. We need people to kind of walk with married couples, recently married couples, couples with young children, to support them on this journey to grow as a family of life, as a domestic church. We need people to serve in our own ministries, in our music ministry, as ushers, lectors, greeters, Eucharistic ministers, altar servers. My friends, the needs are great, and the harvest is bountiful. We only need laborers. Will you labor in the field for Christ? So I'm going to give you this challenge. Jesus called 72 disciples and sent them out. Between now and December, the end of December, I want you to do two things. I want us to offer a harvest of 72 new ministers here at Holy Family. If you are already a minister, your mission is to do what Jesus said, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. I want you every day, part of your prayers, just say, Lord, send us more laborers at Holy Family. But if you're not serving, I want you to consider to become a missionary disciple. You know, that's where we practice, that's where we train how to become missionary disciples within the Holy Family community, a parish community, before we go out to the world, because Jesus said, I'm sending you like lamb among wolves. It's not easy. Jesus knew that. We know that. It's scary. But he also said, I'll give you power over all evil. Do we trust his words? So if you're ready to become a missionary disciple for Jesus, come and talk to me. Talk to any of our core directors. Talk to other people who are already serving, and we're grateful for your ministry, those who are already ministers. But we have a shortage, a great shortage, and there's an urgency because there is a great need in the world today, and not in the world out there, but the world here, to hear that the kingdom of God is at hand. 72 ministers between now and the end of December, that's less than one minister a day. Last night after, you know, Mass, I was greeting people, and one fourth grader, you know, and goes now school, comes to me and say, Father, I'm going to be an altar server in the fall, so now you only need 71 more people. God is calling us to be his missionary disciples because he knows what the world is like. He knows that we're afraid, we're not happy. He knows that the path we're on is not going to lead to life, but to destruction. And he wants us to be part of the solution, not of the problem. To proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. There's many ways we can do this. All we have to say is yes to that invitation.